Chuck Chat Technorama for Thursday, October 13th, 2005.
Any similarities between this podcast and actual events and or persons living or dead are purely coincidental. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, and no animals were harmed in making of this podcast.
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors, cardinal gram meters, six hydrocoptic Margo vanes, conductors and fluxes, prefamulated annulite, malleable logarithmic casing, swerving bearings, panometric fan, Milford trunnions, and the facet lunar wane shaft, Lotus O deltoid type, semi-boloid slots of the stator, drawn reciprocation dingle arm, sinusoidal deplaneration, retroencabulator.
Hello, and thank you for connecting to Technorama, whether you are coming to us from Audio Pod Nova, iTunes, Yahoo, or your favorite aggregator, or listening directly online. This is the first step in a 12-step program to becoming a bigger geek than you already are. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the man with the mission, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing fantastic, Chuck. How are you?
Oh, thank you, Grasshopper. You may leave when you take the e-pebble from my hand.
We are where you want to be. All right. That's enough of that.
Okay, yeah, this is a morning show.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing there, Greg?
I'm doing great, Chuck. Let's go to the weather.
The traffic report this morning, it looks a little tough on the I-5.
All right. We have sunk to a new low on our intros. That's it. With us, we have Steve Pruitt, who will be talking to us about GPS. Hello, Steve.
Hello. Hello, everybody out there.
Someone I can make facial expressions at in the studio.
They can actually watch you.
And welcome to all of you on the streaming webcam who are joining us here in the Technorama studios and in the chat room. A big shout out to the other Scott R. We lost the first Scott R, I think. And Victor, our wonderful sit-in for our Uber fan who is on vacation this month. No, this week.
Yeah.
Coming up tonight's show.
Our stalker's taking a break.
Our stalker is on vacation in Vegas, no less. Coming up in tonight's show, we have Craig is going to be talking about, what, your machine died at work?
Yep, I had a nice little surprise this morning. And my keyboard went too.
Your keyboard went out to lunch also.
Yep.
And Steve is here to tell us more about GPS. And what else have we got? We've got more on SharePoint that I've got to come up with. But first, we will have some words from our sponsors. We'll be back right after this. If you organize conference calls or hold business meetings with remote clients, you can use GoToMeeting to keep everyone on the same page and make your meetings more effective. It's helped our members at TechPodcast.com stay organized, made planning much easier, and saved us time. Best of all, it's affordable for both small and large businesses. GoToMeeting has agreed to let TechPodcast.com listeners try their web conferencing tool free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/TechPodcast for your free trial now. Discover how GoToMeeting can revolutionize the way you hold business meetings. On this day in tech history for October 13th, 2005. It's October 13th. This is the 286th day of the year. There are 79 days remaining in 2005. And there are only 57 days left until the Chronicles of Narnia open in U.S. theaters. It was on this date in 1976, the first electron micrograph of an Ebola viral particle was obtained by Dr. F.A. Murphy, now at UC Davis. He was then working at the CDC. And on this date, in 1983, Ameritech Mobile Communications, now Singular, launched the first U.S. cellular network in Chicago. The United States Senate rejects ratification of the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty, or CTBT, on this date in 1999. Also on this date in 2003, the Public Library of Science commences publication of an open-access scientific journal, the PLOS Biology. Two deaths to note on this date in 1987, Walter Brattain, the American physicist and Nobel Prize laureate. Also, Bertram Brockhaus, the Canadian physicist and Nobel Prize laureate, passed away on this date in 2003. Happy birthday goes out to Rudolf Virchow, born on this date in 1821. He's German physicist, physician, pathologist, biologist, and politician. I didn't hear podcaster in there anywhere. Also, happy birthday on this date in 1954 to Mordecai Vanunu, the Israeli nuclear technician. And finally, Chris Carter was born on this date in 1956. He's the creator of the X-Files. Yeah, that's the way it was on this date in tech history for October 13th.
Netscapades. On ice. Come see Matthew Willington perform the interpretive dance set to ice of the .com boom and burst. On ice. See Microsoft, Amazon, and Netscape battle it out for their piece of the pie. Netscapades. On ice. Watch CEOs vying for a new part of this new frontier. Netscapades. Coming to the Hallmark Union Square November 13th. It's an experience you'll never forget. On ice.
Rev Tim.
This is Rev Tim from the Rev Tim Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, hold your headphones tightly to your ears. Your MP3 treat is coming in the form of Chuck Tomasi from Chuck Chat.
And we are back.
Yep.
Craig.
Yes.
iPod today.
What's that?
We're probably not the only podcast talking about the iPod release today. The video iPod?
Yeah, you think so?
Did you see pictures? Well, I want to talk about it too. We do do off news, or what do they call that? Lesser news, weak news? I can't remember. I heard a term for what we do earlier, but we're going to sneak in a strong-sided news.
A strong-sided
news? Strong-sided news, yes. What's your take? Did you see it?
Yeah, well, sort of. I've seen the pictures. I was watching the Steve Jobs thing here just a few minutes ago.
Oh, the keynote is on the net now?
Yeah, it's on their. I think it's on their site.
Okay.
And I started watching it, and it looks pretty cool.
Now, it looks like it's wider. Not thicker, but wider.
Well,
did they have some physical dimensions about it?
Yeah, it's all up on the website. I think if you look at it, I don't know if it's really that much wider, but I think the screen makes it look that way because it's actually close to the edge of the screen. It looks, actually, you know what? When I looked at it, I thought it looked a lot like the IMAX, the new IMAX, you know, on the stand.
I didn't see a picture of the new IMAX. Tell me about them. I heard they were thinner, and they have
they
an embedded.
They look the same, but they're thinner.
They have an embedded camera in them, right?
Yeah, right in the top, right above the screen, you know, a little dot. Is where the camera sits, and it's actually an EyeSight camera sitting in there with higher specs than the regular EyeSight.
Really? EyeSight HD?
Yeah,
16:9, right?
Yeah, right.
It'll make you look thinner.
Yeah. Ooh, I'll take two.
Actually, you know what was cool? Did you watch it at all?
I haven't seen the keynote yet.
there was the cool little app. It's one of the lesser titles that he really emphasized about, but he demoed the photo booth,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, you turn on the software and it looks like a little, it shows a display of what's coming through the eyesight, little camera, and when you hit it, it takes a picture of you like you were in a photo booth, you know, and it has effects in real time, and you can see what you're going to look like when it gets ready to shoot. And instead of putting a flash on the unit itself, the whole screen turns white, you know, flashes white, and it makes that sound, so yeah. It looks like the screen flashed. It was a nice effect, actually.
Oh, jeez. Now, it's getting, cool. Getting back to the iPod,
mm-hmm.
would you buy, assuming you didn't have your Dell, what do you got? The
Axum.
Axum, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming you didn't have that, would you buy one of these to watch a video on?
I don't know, probably not. And I'll tell you why, it's because I'm sure it's pretty limited on what kind of video it's going to be able to play.
MPEG-4.
Yeah, so, you know, I download videos off the net.
I just can't see watching video on a dinky little device. I mean, honestly, well, if they came out with BSG for download, would you... I haven't heard whether this thing will hook up to a TV or not. It's supposed to be the replacement of the iPod Photo.
Does.
So it does.
They said it will.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you can hook it up to a TV, which is one plus, but I'm probably not going to put this in the back seat of the van with the kids to watch mm-hmm. whatever it is. That's just me. I just can't see watching video on a little screen.
I wouldn't do it like that. This is what I use mine for. Now, since I already can play videos on my Dell Axon, what I've been doing is, like, my boss said to me the other day, you need to check out that show, My Name is Earl. And I was like, really? I said, I haven't seen it. I knew what it was. So I went and, yeah, I used BitTorrent and I downloaded the first three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I took my son to his karate class, and of course I sit there for about an hour. Well, I sat there and watched all three of them on my Dell Axon. That in that arena, sure, it works great. But if I'm in the car, you're not going to watch the video.
You can't. No, that's where the audio podcasts have an advantage over the video podcast.
That's where I'm going with this. If I'm at work, I can't really watch video and work.
Exactly.
However, I can, some stuff I can listen to without a problem. So that's why I like the PDA playing my videos, because I don't need anything that's, you know, that's one of its main functions. I wouldn't go out of my way to buy something to do that.
How about you, Steve?
I don't know. As a non pod owner.
somebody dropped one in your lap, you wouldn't complain.
Exactly. I wouldn't pay the extra money for the video.
It's actually like the same price. They've priced it right in line with the old units, $299 and $399.
But to take time to watch a video, like, you can listen to the radio and do other things. The video takes all of your attention to actually
wash dishes, vacuum the house, fold laundry.
Exactly.
Yeah, if I'm watching TV, if I want to watch some TV content, normally it's because I'm sitting on the couch.
Right.
You know, now, I have downloaded some stuff like episodes of The Office and watched them on my PDA, stuck them on there because I knew I was going to be somewhere waiting. Or like when we go out in November, I'm going to take lots of video content on the plane.
Yeah, and I could see using that, but other than video short bursts, less than songs. You know.
I'm not bashing the iPod. I just don't think it's for me.
Yes, but you're right.
Evidently, the market, the public has been saying, we want it, we want it, we want it. Well, here it is. Let's see if it flies, because other similar devices are not flying.
So is that going to have the 60 gig drive in it then? Or what?
There's a 30 and a 60.
Yep. So if somebody wants to buy my 40 gig fourth generation, let me know.
I'll sell you a 20 gig fourth gen and throw in a 10 gig first gen.
For the amazing low price of...
Actually, I think I'd rather have a nano over the the video.
Yeah,
To be honest with you, and I'm not trying to push my own iPod here, but I am considering selling my iPod and getting a 2 gig compact flash or SD card for the PDA, and just because I normally just listen to podcasts, and if I want to listen to music, I pretty much know ahead of time, so I could just copy it onto the card and, you know, listen to that for a while.
All right, I think we beat that one to death.
Yeah, come on, Steve.
We do have a pile of other stories in case we run out at the end, but I don't think we will. First, we've got to take another commercial break here.
Right.
And when we'll get back, we'll talk to Steve Pruitt about all you ever wanted to know about GPS.
Deal? See you on the flip side.
Not that much.
Did you know that you can build a website in minutes at GoDaddy.com? You can, with Website Tonight. Just pick a website template and add your own text and graphics. That's it. Each Website Tonight account includes secure hosting, a free email account, and much more. It's the complete solution to create your very own website. And as a special offer from Tech Podcast listeners, you can take an additional $5 off of any order of $30 or more. All you have to do is enter tech code TECH4, that's TECH and the number 4, when you check out.
Ready to get your geek on? You should check out Technorama.
We are back, and we have Steve Pruitt, the GPS guru, with us.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck.
Yeah. Craig, I'm going to come over there and chop your fingers off.
I'm sorry. Introduce Steve again.
Steve Pruitt, the GPS guru.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had that one on cue, didn't I?
Was that the... Is this the Gong Show?
Yeah.
There we go. You're a bit slow on the uptake there.
These are the jokes.
All right. Okay. Steve, I know nothing about GPS, so I want to start with the basics. Where would... If I came to you and said, I want to buy a GPS, what should I look for? Are you going to turn around and give me the same straight answer that I always give? What are you going to do with it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
The GPS market is really picking up steam. After, I'd say, when the government flicked the switch and increased the accuracy on the satellites from hundreds of feet down to tens of feet, the GPS picked up popularity, and more companies are starting to pick up on it. The big guys, Garmin, Magellan, they've been in it for a while, but you're also seeing a lot of aviation applications. GPS was really started and used by the government, so the big companies were in there. The Bell Labs, Lowrance, the companies that do all the avionics were using it forever. Now Garmin and Magellan have taken the lead in the consumer handheld market. And that's where I would tell people to start, is looking at the big guys. The smaller players do have a lot of nice features, but their technology isn't proven. They don't have the experience or the background or the backing to their software may be buggy, the systems may be buggy. So it takes a while, and you're basically being a beta tester with some of these smaller GPS companies like TomTom. That's the only one I can think of off the top of my head. The big players are Garmin and Magellan. They're in the handheld consumer market.
Why would you say people are buying these? I mean, what's the attraction? What's the draw to spend $200, $300, $400 to go out geocaching when I can go do a similar thing called letterbox touring for nothing?
Right. The technology of GPS will allow you to know exactly where you're at anywhere on the planet at any time as long as you can get a satellite signal. So knowing where you're at, you can use it for in-car navigation if you want to know where you're going. If anybody's ever driven around and thought for a second you were lost, you might benefit from a GPS. Also, like you mentioned, geocaching. It's a new sport that it's kind of combines orienteering for geeks, maybe, I would say.
Okay.
Where you can go on and get a GPS coordinate and go out, use your GPS to get to that location, then look for a cache that somebody has planted or hidden somewhere.
Which is typically like a Tupperware box with a toy. And
range from a film canister, a little 35-millimeter film canister, up to a 5-gallon pickle barrel. And in there, there's a log book. You may exchange items. There may be a tag that you collect the number off of. And then you would go to a website and say, hey, I visited, I found this cache. It's modern-day treasure hunting.
It's not C-A-S-H. It's
yeah, there's no cash.
Anybody has anybody found Jimmy Hoffa?
Yeah. I don't know. Somebody's got to tag him first.
He's at coordinate number. No. Yeah.
I bet that'd be a real popular one.
Giant Stadium.
Oh, wait. Yeah. It's Jimmy Hoffa's Steakhouse.
Yeah.
So, and to do this, you would get it's a consumer handheld. There are tons of them coming out by the big two, Magellan and Garmin, in wide varieties. And just like, and Chuck's grabbing mine to have with.
Your GPS.
Yes. Thank you. hey now.
This is a G-rated show.
This is about, 4.5, 5 inches long.
Yep, and that's a midline
unit. And about 2 inches high and maybe 3/4 inch thick.
Yep.
And there's a little...
Flip-out antenna,
although it doesn't look like a cell phone antenna, or it's more of a flat square piece.
And for those that really can't grasp dimensions, you have ever experienced the old Nokia phones that were pretty popular at the time, it's about the size of that, a little wider.
It's a little brick, yeah. Yep. It's a little brick, but it fits comfortably in the hand.
And Chuck is talking about Garmin's Quest.
Yes, Craig.
Hey, Chuck, remove the on-the-air thing and show it to the webcam.
Webcam ahoy. All right, we have a Garmin Quest and a nice looking screen.
It's color screen. Hit the power button once and it'll turn on the backlight. Hold it down.
Ooh. Yep. And now, it's got the coordinates to my house, so I'm not going to show that. Well, you probably can't see it.
You can't see it. Zoomed way in.
Okay.
All right, just to give you a list. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Well, Steve asked where I live, and I emailed you my postal address. What did you do with that, and how did you get it in here so you got instructions?
All right.
We'll start with something simple. The lost man.
Yeah. Okay, you go out and you buy a GPS. All right. Now you sit at home with your GPS, and depending on what options are on there, or how it's configured, what you got to do is get some maps into that GPS. Right now, the basic GPS will read and it'll triangulate off satellites. That's how it finds out where you're at. So
and you need a minimum of 3 signals.
Right? But some of them, if there's meters on there, you can get up to 12 or 13. The more satellites, the better the accuracy.
How many satellites are in orbit right now?
There are 24 satellites in orbit, with 3 of them are out, and 27 actually, 24 active, 3 or 4 spares.
Far out are they? 100 miles up or 26,000 miles up?
No, they're. They're in geodistant orbit, so they're...
Well, geosynchronous, so they rotate with the Earth. Yep. But, I mean, are they near, far?
They're midway, 100 miles above. Okay. No, 100 to 120.
They're not going to... I'm sorry, I can't... crash into the space station.
Yeah, no, they're in a pretty close... I don't think they're low... They're medium Earth orbit, then, would that be? I have... As long as you have a clear vision of the sky, no obstructions, you can pick up satellites. So, I've even picked them up inside my garage. It reads them out the garage door's open. It'll read the southern sky, which my
house... So, how do they work in a car?
Same way. You have to get them up on the windshield so you can see through the windshield.
Okay.
As long as you have a clear view of the sky, it can find the satellites. Okay. So, when you do purchase, let's back up just to talk about the units before we talk about how I found our way here.
Right, right, okay.
All right, the units, I'm just going to deal with Garmin because that's what I have experience with. Magellan may offer the same range of models, but there are various models and different price ranges. And just like a car or anything else you buy, the more money you spend, the more options you'll get up on it.
Okay.
That is a midline unit. It came out new last year, so it was September of 2004. That model retailed for about $600. That was a midline unit.
I suspect they start with the cheap monochrome ones that have a crappy resolution screen.
Exactly. Low memory.
Eat through
batteries.
Or no memory.
Yep.
Okay.
That's got a lithium ion. So your low end, like you said, will have a monochrome screen, real low resolution, not a lot of processing power, like a serial interface that takes a long time to load data. It may have, I'm trying to think, it may run on just AA batteries. Real low tech, and as you add options, you'll add internal compasses, which will help you orienteer if you can't. Because the way this unit, there's no internal compass or altimeter, it does it all by calculation on satellites.
Okay.
So when you're walking around, it has to find the satellites and it detects the movement, and then it measures your speed over that small sampling period. Some of them actually have a built-in compass and altimeter that actually read that. The data right off the built-in, so it doesn't use the satellites. For orienteering and geocaching, that might be the way to go. This unit here is designed more as a navigation device to be used in vehicles. It doesn't have an internal compass, so you can't go out and hike with it. Garmin has several lines. The eTrex line is the handhelds that are they're very rough and durable. They're more of a handheld, where this is sideways, and I'm holding it sideways for the webcam viewers. The other one is to be held like you would hold a cell phone upright, and that's more of a natural position. And that's the ones, the eTrex line by Garmin is the line designed for more of that outdoor orienteering handheld unit.
Where so this one, there's two different really models. This the car one is more of a landscape mode,
and, right? Exactly. And within the eTrex line, there are different levels. They call them the Vista or the Legend. There's color screens. There's monochrome screens. Some have internal memory, flash memory. Some have no memory. They're just a basic GPS to say these are your GPS coordinates and this is the direction you're heading. Ooh, sorry about that.
Bump the mic.
Oh my God. They grow out of those pods.
This is Summer Brooks from the Dragon Page, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Chuck Chat Technorama. Can you figure out who's the one and who's the zero?
All right, Steve, tell me a little bit about how data is stored in here. How do you get the maps in there and coordinates, like the example of how you got to my house? Take us through that kind of scenario.
All right. The unit is going to have some sort of storage medium if you do want to store a map. Most of the units, Garmin's provides it's called America's Base Map on certain units. Mm-hmm. This is just the major highways, freeways, major thoroughfares in the United States of America. They also make them for Canada and Europe. This is very basic information. So if you're in the middle of Timbuktu, you look at the GPS, it'll be a little triangle icon in the middle of nowhere because there's no road, major roads there.
I often feel like that. Yeah.
You are here, but we're not sure where that is.
And you'll zoom out and you'll see, hey, wait, there's an interstate 150 miles away, you know. But, and in this base map, which is also cool, is Garmin loads in information on where food and lodging is, gas stations, attractions.
Off the major highways, I assume?
Everywhere in the U.S. Like, if you're at a point and you say, I need to find my way to a gas station, even if you're in the middle of Timbuktu, it'll try to route you there using the maps that it has. That information is loaded into the GPS.
But you're going to need more memory to store all those restaurants and gas stations.
Well, no, that's in the basic memory setup, right? Okay. In addition, will give you additional memory. For example, this unit has 115 meg of memory.
That's an odd number.
Yeah, I know.
123.
The lower end ones may have 16.2. No, it'll have 16 meg or 24 meg. This just happens to have 115. With this memory, you get to load in. You'll get software. Garmin is called MapSource. This will have every road in the U.S. in it. If you buy MapSource USA.
Right down to the hillbilly dirt roads?
Yes, everything. Went out to California this summer, you wouldn't believe some of the roads we were on.
What are you saying, Chuck?
Yeah.
I'm not pointing any fingers.
We have Craig Street on there, too.
Craig, do you live on a hillbilly dirt road?
Actually, you know what? I would like you to check that because I don't know if you do. My neighborhood's fairly new, and it doesn't show up on...
How new?
I have... it was 3 years.
I'll bet you. Send me your address. I bet you it'll be in there.
All right, we'll check it off air and see.
Okay. It's 428. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I was surprised, and in my neighborhood, behind my house, we have a little, it's like a half circle drive that every mapping software I've ever been to, Google Maps, MapQuest, shows it as a little straight line. This software had it exactly represented the way it was supposed to. And like I said, I went to California, and we were on some very back roads in mountains, and everything was there. You'll be cruising along, and you can bring up a screen that shows you the next street that's coming. It would say Bell Lane, and you'd look, and there would be an old dilapidated sign in the middle of the desert that said Bell Lane as you were coming up to it. I mean, and it says, now approaching Bell Lane. You look up and you look out and you'll see, an old rickety sign that says Bell Lane. It's like hanging off. And you look out and it's a dirt road going out into the distance. That's so the maps, they come out every year and I think they go in and they actually update. And they realize that this is for navigation. So they are very diligent about keeping it up to date. Mm-hmm. Whereas, Google Maps may say, all right, we'll get it close, but we're not, people aren't relying on this.
In all fairness, I think my road actually shows up my little area, but not the satellite images. So
yeah, well, I'll see what give me that, and I want to see what the detail it is. It's just I'm always curious to see how well it does.
Who's mm-hmm. they? Who keeps this up to date? Is it the
it's
government?
Garmin? No, oh. Garmin, the company, will in their MapSource product.
So there's a guy
always
walking.
A they the yeah, show. They're the they this time.
And do you have to pay a subscription to keep your maps up to date?
You buy the software. When you buy this unit, some of them, the newer units, have it. Actually comes with it. What happens is you get the CD, mm-hmm. and it requires an unlock code. If you just buy the CD, they email you, or they say log on, you have to get the unlock code, and then you attach it to your GPS unit via the serial number on the back. Mm-hmm. And then they say, all right, we'll generate a code for you, just like any other licensed software, so it's locked to the unit. This one, I just download the software and I hook it in the GPS, and then the code is locked inside the unit itself. So it unlocks the software for me. So now I have the MapQuest software linked to my unit on my computer. Now, if you bring up the USA, you'll see a bunch of blocks, and these are detailed map blocks. And the size of the block depends on how dense it is. So the city of Chicago may have 40 different blocks, and you load these detailed blocks, and each one may be like 10 meg or, you know, mm-hmm. 3 meg.
And the whole of Upper Peninsula has one block.
Actually, the UP and most of northern Wisconsin is on a block. And I think it's like 6 meg.
Wow.
And, for example, like Charlotte's broken up into like 6 different blocks. Chicago's mm-hmm. like 15 or 20. And what you do is you're going into an area, you download the detail, and, you know, basically try to fill up your memory. And that's how you navigate. When you get in close, it'll then have all the nice city streets okay. and everything in there.
Now, can you do it by region?
Yes. And, for example, I took a motorcycle trip out from Wisconsin to California and back, and I download the blocks along my whole route and to each side of my route, and the memory took up for the whole trip, and this is including the cities of Denver, Reno, the San Francisco mm-hmm. area. Mm-hmm. 114.7 meg.
So you just about yes. tapped this thing out. But I'm sure you could have taken out a side.
Yeah, and that's
block
the thing, though. If I ran out of memory, it takes memory management. You bring in the detail of the areas that you want to use. So if I had a small memory in my unit, I wouldn't need all the detail of all those little dirt roads if I'm just taking the interstate right. all the way out to Colorado. I would just expand the area around to where I need. So, and on some cool. trips, mm-hmm. when we were on before that, somebody only had a 24 meg unit. We actually brought along a laptop with the software,
and yeah, somebody reload.
Yeah, you would reload maps as you got out, and you needed to
that's
you know,
a good
update
idea.
Your map
because you could do half the trip, and then you know wherever you stop that night, set it up for the next day or two.
Exactly, and then mm-hmm. when you have the map detail maps, and if you need it, you'll plug in basically a start point and end point, and let the software navigate a route. Now, Garmin's software will then figure out the fastest route, and it will use every road possible to get that fastest route. Mm-hmm. And it will highlight the route on the software, and when mm-hmm. you look at it, if you want to change your route, you just rubber band it. You grab onto it and drag it to a new spot, and it'll recalculate the route to go through that point.
Mm. Oh, cool.
And if you have a certain spot you want to stop at, it's called a waypoint. You drop one of mm-hmm. those in there along the route so you can connect waypoints, or you can mm-hmm. connect this start and stop point. Or if you're at a location, and for example, I was at somewhere and they said, hey, this is a cool view and all that, I want to know where it's at, you can tag where you're at. So it'll tag that exact location and turn it into a waypoint, so when I get back home, I can upload that to my computer and see exactly where it was at.
The biggest map. Ball of string in
yeah, exactly.
Minnesota.
You know, yeah. Or, you know, a spot. You know, it could be anything.
Hey, well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I can pull up the name of the service, but there's a new service out. You install this Java applet if you've got one of these Nextel phones that supports Java.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all the newer phones have GPS locators on them.
Yep.
You can sign up with a site, install their application on your phone, and it'll keep updating where you're at
exactly.
on the website. And you can have friends looking to see where you're at and stuff. I thought that was pretty interesting. I signed up not realizing that the full scope of the thing, and I was like, well, I can't install that Java app. Well, I've been getting emails from all these people. So-and-so has added you as a friend. So-and-so has added you as a friend.
it's amazing what they can do with this technology. I'm a motorcycle enthusiast. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Iron Butt, where motorcyclists get together every 2 years and they ride 1,000 miles a day for 10 days. And six riders this year put transponders, and we're being tracked via GPS on their route, and it was going through a Google Maps. So people go online and track exactly where they're at and, you know, what route they took and what speed they're traveling. So,
That's awesome.
My unit will also remember it's got tracking data. This unit can only do, about 6 days. My trip was almost 7,000 miles, but it would track exactly where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And you load that track data back into MapSource, and you click on certain positions, and it'll tell you how fast you're going at that position, what your altitude was, and, you know, what direction you were heading. And you do that along your whole route. So what I did is, because the whole route, I couldn't do the whole route, I wanted to get my desert speed runs through there. So I tracked how fast I was going through the desert. But then it'll calculate your top speed, how fast you're going, your moving average, your stopped average, you know, your total trip average, your, you know, total miles on trip. So it remembers all that. The units can do that. Now, there are other units, the high-end ones, that actually, instead of messing around with all that detail map, they just dump everything onto the GPS. So you either have a really big flash card memory in there, or a little mini drive, and it takes like 2 gig to load all the detail from Garmin into these units. So basically, you bring up the unit, it has all the detailed maps of the U.S. in it already. Those are the upper-line units. The Quest model that I have, they just came out with a new version called the Quest 2, real original. They actually loaded all the maps into it for the U.S. In addition to that, they have 140 meg to load fishing maps, topo maps. There's a lot of other specialized ones. You can get real detailed and specialized with a lot of this data that you use, and they're taking advantage of that.
Well, let's talk price real quick. What would it cost to get a starter unit?
You can find starter units on the net for around $100 to
$200.
eBay is a great place to look, especially for a starter unit. The starter units, and like I said, Garmin and Magellan are the big ones. I dealt with Garmin just because of the support out there and the units available. They have a very nice variety with features that I look for. You'll be able to get into the basic units. Will just give you the basics. Like I said, they might not even have the ability to load maps. They may just be able to tell you, here's your spot in the universe.
Okay.
This is where you're at, and maybe this is the direction you're going. As you move up, you start adding memory to it. You add a better color. You may get into something, for example, the eTrex model that I was talking about before, the color version. Mm-hmm. It can be found online for around $250.
You said yours is a midline.
Yeah, midline. That Quest right now, because the new version's out, that one's retailing for around $400
So mid-range is about $400. You get a decent amount of features, a decent amount of RAM.
Yep, and then when you add that loaded base map into the Quest 2, you're getting around $500 to $600. And the new one's coming out, the Garmin 376C, which is more of a marine-based right now, but the technology is they're hooking it up to XM radio. So besides having the antenna on there to receive the GPS signals, they have an antenna, an XM antenna. And with that, you're able to listen to XM radio through the GPS unit. But the cool thing is you're able to get live radar images through XM. So you have a color radar of the area that you pick, and you can see the clouds rolling in if you want.
Tornado.
Exactly. This is already a feature that has been on their aviation units.
So, well, think about that. I mean, if a severe storm was coming up,
You're out fishing,
you want to know that. Or you may even have to divert. If you're riding on your motorcycle, you don't want to go through an F5 tornado.
Yeah, if it looks dark up front, yeah.
Oh, hey, well, what if you're a storm chaser?
Exactly.
Even better. You may want to go through the F5.
Yeah.
Hey, I was just looking. I've been looking at getting a Bluetooth GPS unit to use with the Dell Axon. And, the prices for those are, I guess, on the average, about $150 or so. And those look pretty cool. See, if it's Bluetooth, I can just stick it in my backpack, and, you know, I don't have to have any cables or anything.
Yeah. No, the tech. Cool. I used to be a paper map only guy on the bike, and now I'm just pure GPS.
All right, we're going to take another quick break here. We'll be right back.
Just a reminder that Technorama is coming up on show number 50. We've got hundreds of dollars worth of cool stuff, and you'll want to make sure you don't miss out on your chance to win. To enter, head over to chuckchat.com and sign up for the announcements mailing list to qualify for the prize drawings we'll be doing on show number 50. The mailing lists are on the left side of the main page at www.chuckchat.com. Don't delay, sign up today.
Geek Thoughts.
Someday, I'll write the Da Vinci compiler so I can run the Da Vinci code.
We are back, and we're going to have to wind this up. Just a quick reminder about that Show 50 thing. Give a shout-out to and a big thank you to Citrix GoToMeeting for putting up a one-year subscription. That's $468 to me and you. Tim Berquin, thank you very much for the full pass to the Expo coming up in November. Todd Cochran has kicked in a copy of his book. Evo Terra will be providing a copy of his book when it's available early next month. And a special thank you this week. We also landed a prize package from Madtown Aces. They do audio production packages. They've given us $300 value production packages. You don't need to be a podcaster to benefit from this one.
Two of them. There's only two of them.
No, they did throw in three, unfortunately. I'd really like to. I am going to be doing some business with them the other way. I will be purchasing some of their services. I've heard their material. I really like what I've heard.
Oh, yeah.
But $300 packages, if you're just doing personal promotions, you've got a website out there. A lot of different ways you can go with this, so you don't have to be a podcaster. But if you are, or you're thinking about being one, extra bonus to you, because this is really nice stuff. And yeah, we do have a couple more prizes in the works, too.
Well, we're just giving away the whole farm, aren't we?
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of wishing I was able to compete in some of this contest stuff. It'd be nice, but unfortunately...
Show number 100, paper notebook to give away.
I got a pencil with some bite marks on it.
Some of Chuck's old gum.
We can say it was Steve Jobs' gum.
And a worn out 5 gig iPod.
10.
Oh, 10.
It's got some scratches on it.
And an IBM T20.
Shh. We will never speak of that again.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do
never,
it for it. Yes.
Hey, you never talk about the computers as they're working.
No. Shh, yeah. It's behaving itself.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, let's wrap this up. Here we go. It's the listener line. Be sure to call us and leave us a message. I haven't heard anybody in a last show or two.
We got one from our faithful friend in tech, Kevin Devon. He calls about once every other week to say, this is your friendly reminder so your voicemail doesn't get... disrupted.
Well, I left one.
That's nice.
Because if the service is not used every so often, they will reclaim the number.
Yes, and Kevin went through a nice rigmarole on that one. So anyway.
I left the message.
Yes, Steve left us a message on Sunday's show.
Yes, thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Oh, by the way, I do want to mention that I was talking about the open office version for Mac. That was NeoOffice J.
Right.
I was trying to remember.
Chad Streck threw that at us. Thank you very much.
Yeah, actually, George Starcher reminded me of that also. So, anyway. So, be sure to call our listener line, and you can, rag me on something. I don't know.
That's what I did.
Yeah. You can, too. It's 206-222-CHAT. You can email Chuck at ChuckChat, Chuck at ChuckChat.com. Me at Craig, that's K-R-E-G. At ChuckChat.com. And don't forget to visit our website, ChuckChat.com, for all kinds of great stuff. Links to our swag webcam. You can see the streaming cam and all kinds of, especially our show notes. Be sure to check that out.
Any parting words of wisdom?
Yeah, I wish my mouth had a backspace key.
Don't we all? You took my parting words of wisdom out and put in your own.
We already used yours.
We already used it. Yeah. Steve, give us a binary high five. 101. We got to train these new guys.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And thanks for listening. Bye bye.
Yeah, I think it ranks up there with Stairway to Heaven.
What?